السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين والخلص من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما. There are two approaches and two ways of understanding the concept of Khilafah and Imamah in Islam. There is the human approach, how a human understand that, how human analyze that. The second approach is the sacred approach, the divine approach. How does God understand that? When it comes to the succession of the Prophet, there are many theories. But there are two main approaches, the human and the divine. And there is a difference between them. The human approach is also has many types, different types. One of them says that whoever, من غلب بالسيف, whoever takes arm and he becomes victorious over his rivals, he can become Khalifa, he can rule, and the entire Ummah should submit to such person. من غلب بالسيف, the only qualification for him is force and power. So if he can knock others down and become victorious, then people have to listen to him. That is the only qualification. We don't look at his, you know, his CV, we don't look at his achievement, we don't look at his faith. That is the only thing required. If he becomes ghalib, victorious, has the upper hand through sword, be safe, not through logic, through sword, then people have to listen to him. And there are hadiths that have been attributed to the Prophet in this regard. Hadiths. They base their theory on hadith that they attribute. Of course, these hadiths are rejected. In the school of Ahlul Bayt, we don't accept such fabrications. So this is one approach. The second approach is that only the companionship to the Prophet, Suhbatun Nabi, is the biggest qualification for a person to succeed him. As long as he was with the Prophet, in the company of the Prophet. Doesn't have to be very knowledgeable. There might be other people who are more knowledgeable than him, even more pious than him. But because he was with the Prophet, in and out, therefore he is qualified to succeed the Prophet. صحبة النبي. This is the human approach. We come to the third approach, or the second approach, in fact, which is the sacred approach, al-fahm al-qudsi, the divine approach to the concept of imama and khilafah. This approach is introduced by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family, the imams of Ahlul Bayt. They say the imam is like the Prophet. He has to be ordained, chosen, and appointed by God in the same fashion that God appoints prophets. We don't hear anywhere, we never heard that a prophet, any prophet, was elected by his own people. It didn't happen anywhere. No one claims that one of those prophets, whether he's universal or regional, was elected and chosen by his own people. Always the prophets are appointed by God. قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. الجعل الإلهي. جعل in Arabic has different meaning than Farsi, huh? Exactly the opposite meaning. جعل in Arabic means appointment. Appointment, when you appoint someone. In Farsi it has a different meaning. So الجعل الإلهي, التنصيب الإلهي, the ordination, divine ordination. God says, I ordain you, Ya Ibrahim. إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ. This is my business. I have the right to choose prophets. Same thing with imams. Why? Because imams are the continuation to the prophet's role, to the prophet's work, to the prophet's significance and importance in the society. They do the same job, with one exception. There is one exception between, one difference between the prophet and an imam. One exception. The prophet yuha ilayh, he receives revelation. He has a book. The imam does not receive revelation, neither he has a book, but he continues the work of the prophet. So the al-fahm al-qudsi, the sacred approach and understanding of this office is that, number one, the imam is appointed by God, chosen, selected, appointed, ordained by God. Number two, the imam has to be the most pious. If there is someone in the community who is more pious than him, then that person cannot be the imam. He has to leave the office for those who are the most pious. And this is revolves around this, the concept of isma, the imam, in the same fashion that the prophet is ma'soom, infallible. The imam has to be infallible too. An imam who commits a crime cannot be imam appointed by God. He can be a local imam, it's okay, but not a universal imam. The universal imam is someone who is infallible, who does not commit a sin. He's a role model. People have to trust him. God does trust him. So this is the second. The third difference is that the imam, like the prophet, he receives his knowledge and his directive and his guidance and his ilm from God, not from books. Prophet Muhammad was illiterate. He did not read, he did not write, but he's the most knowledgeable person in this universe. Why? Because God taught him, God inspired him. He didn't go to a conventional katatib or school or university. He didn't have a mentor. He didn't have a teacher. His mentor was his Lord. Addabani Rabbi fa ahsana ta'dibi. And we refer to this type of knowledge that they receive from the Lord, the name of it in the Sharia, in the fiqh, al-ilmu al-ladunni, al-ladunni. Wa'allamnahu. It's in the Quran. This name has been taken from the Quran. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. We have inspired him and taught him knowledge from us, not from school. God says from us. So the prophets and the imams, their knowledge is from their Lord. عَلَّمَنِي. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam says, عَلَّمَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ ألف باب من العلم يفتح لي من كل باب ألف باب. My teacher taught me several thousands of chapters of knowledge. Several thousands of chapters. So these are the three differences. The Imam in the school of Ahlul Bayt could be different from others. Others, they choose anyone. He doesn't have to be the most knowledgeable. He doesn't have to be the most pious. In some traditions, if he has power, غَلَبَ بِالسَّيْفِ, he's qualified. And today, if you look at the Muslim world, 99% of them, the ruler, غَلَبَ بِالسَّيْفِ. He's victorious not by his logic or his piety or his knowledge or any other qualification, because he's the most powerful. He's a despot. So people have to submit to him. And the theory is that if he becomes a ruler, caliph, then you don't have right to object to him. You don't have right. You have to pay allegiance to that person. Pay allegiance to him. That is the main difference. And then where is the proof of the theory of Ahlul Bayt? It's in the Quran. But before the Quran, it's a rational proof. Rational evidence, aql, pertains to the reason, to aql. Aql says that God created people and that therefore he has to send them leaders and imams. God has to appoint those imams. It is God's responsibility. We have a maxim named Qa'idatul Lutf, the maxim of divine grace. What does that mean? It means that God created us, he wants us to be good. Therefore, if God wants me to be good, he has to supply me with teachers, with mentors, with people who help me out to be good. I cannot become good just by myself. I need advisors. I need teachers. I need people to show me the way. I need people to constantly remind me of my responsibilities. Remind me of what is good and what is bad in the society, in my life. So therefore, because he wants me to be good, because he wants me to go to paradise, therefore, he has to send me prophets and imams. And who sends those prophets and imams? It is him. Allahu a'lam haythu yaj'alu risalata. He knows best who to choose for this post, for this office, for this responsibility. So, therefore, choosing the imam, we depend, number one, on a rational evidence that it is God's responsibility to send us the evidence. And hence God sent many prophets. Therefore, and the second job of this imam is to interpret God's book, to show me the right interpretation. Today, do you know that this book, it's only one book, Quran. This is of course the translation. The Quran is much smaller. Do you know that there are in the Islamic library today 2,500 types of tafsir to this small book. 2,500. Sometimes a tafsir runs into 20 or 30 volumes, each tafsir. So 2,500 times 30. How many volumes you have of tafsir? And they differ with each other. They differ. One mufassir says, my opinion is this. The other says, no, my opinion is different, is opposite to your opinion. So whose job to teach me the true meaning of this book? Is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after the Prophet, those who rightfully hold the office of imama and khilafa after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the job of the Prophet and the imam is to interpret the book, to protect the book, to protect it, and to show me the implementation, how to implement the teachings of this book. How do we pray? Who does show me? Who shows me how do I pray? Who says to me, when is the time of the breaking the fast? Some people, they break their fast, still the sun is there on the horizon. 5 minutes before sunset. Some people, they break their fast at sunset. Some people break their fast 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Where is the right answer? We don't have a universal answer. We do. So whose job is that? The job of the Imam. The Imam says this is the meaning in the Quran. You go to the Imam. If the meaning is confusing, then you go to the rightful Imam that has been appointed by God to show you the answer. This is the work of the Prophet and the Imam. And then after the rational evidence, we come to the textual evidence. Where is it in the Quran that Ali ibn Abi Talib succeeded the Prophet? Where? Does the Quran speak about that? Yes, of course, it does. Many verses in the Quran. Ayatul Tabligh is the most important one. Ya ayyuha al-Rasul, balligh, in chapter number 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah. Balligh ma unzila ilayka min Rabbik, wa in lam taf'al, the day of Ghadir. The other ayah, Ati'u Allah wa ati'u al-Rasul wa ulil amr. The ayah of obedience, obey God, His apostle, and those who are in charge. And the Prophet says, those who are in charge are Ali ibn Abi Talib and the Imams after him. So the evidence is in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. The Prophet said, I am going to leave my community. Did he say, I leave it for you to decide? He never said that. Did he say, oh my community, you are a good community, I love you so much, so you choose someone. Where is that? Where did he say that? He never said that. The Prophet said, and there is consensus among all the transmitters of hadith, upon this hadith, hadith al-thaqalain, inni tarikun, in other versions, inni mukhallifun, I am leaving behind. Mukhallif means, I leave behind me. إني تارك أو مخلف فيكم الثقلين كتاب الله وعترتي أهل بيتي. The leaders after me are the book of God and my family, عترتي. وإنهما لن يفترقا. They never depart from each other. They are always. The Quran needs interpreters, need teachers to explain this book to us. So he left the Ummah with these two treasures, the book and Ahlul Bayt. And the first Imam after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was chosen by God, not by the Prophet. We don't say Imam Ali was chosen by the Prophet. The Prophet has no right to appoint successors after him. Even the Prophet doesn't have that right. The right belongs to God. Imam Ali was appointed by God. قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. The first Imam is Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. And these nights, the holy nights of Ramadan, the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st, are the anniversary of the martyrdom of this leader who gave his life, his entire life, to serve, to protect, to save people worldwide through his justice, through his piety, through his courage, through his sacrifice. The first act of sacrifice by Ali is when he was ready to sleep in the bed of the Prophet so the Prophet can leave Mecca safely to Medina, because the house of the Prophet was surrendered by the enemies who wanted to murder the Prophet that night. Ali, a young man in his 20s, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I sleep in your bed. I stay in your bed. You go safe. And this incident is celebrated in our Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, in chapter 2, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. يَشْرِي in Arabic means he sells, he gives, he donates his life, seeking the pleasure of God, seeking the satisfaction of God. يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ, the reason why he slept there, ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, just to make God happy. ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بالعباد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.